As I got another rhyme, another rhythm for y'all to listen. I'm never quitting on my mission, I'ma roll with what I'm giving. Got some ambition, this new addition, filling positions. Looking at the void in myself and feeling what's missing. Better watch the way you going, better go in the right direction. In the moment you stressing, but you gon' be counting blessings. And I know that for certain, keep on working, open curtains. Haters swerving, cause they ain't ready for your final version. I'm never gon' give up, fall down, I just gotta get up, get up.
You're listening to the Tom Ficklin Show on WNHH LP 103.5 FM, your home for community radio.
Hey Harry, thanks as always for the morning to everyone.
Tom, push your mic in. The end of your mic, that wire, push it in.
Oh. Do we have to start over? Do we have to start over? Okay, we're good. So we're going to find out who this gentleman is and was, and although he may not be on the planet of life in terms of a visual standpoint, we're going to bring his life and legacy to life. And there's three conspirators here, three sojourners, three really committed people that believe in what the importance of history and the importance of her story. And so what does that mean as we kind of encountered in 2018 and go into 2019 in terms of people and the planet and just our public memory? So Ebenezer Bassett, you may not have never heard the name of the Honorable Ebenezer Don Carlos Bassett. If you live in New Haven, you might have driven down Bassett Street. If you went to elementary school here in New Haven, you might have went to Lincoln Bassett School, but who pays attention to those names? Well, we're here to let you know that it's important that people get their name. Their name is enshrined in history. Sometimes their names are forgotten, but sometimes their names are breathed to life and resurrected and really kind of bestowed upon future generations. And that's what we're here to talk about, kind of the Sankofa kind of movement from the past, the present, and the future. And using this gentleman's name, the Honorable Ebenezer Don Carlos Bassett, to manifest that spirit. So let's introduce ourselves. We have Pastor Mills here.
Hello, I'm Thomas Mills. I'm the pastor of Grace Church in New Britain, Connecticut.
All right. And we have Mr. Father Gill, William Fothergill.
And again,
a little closer.
I'm William Fothergill. I'm the associate counselor at Central Connecticut State University, and also am the chair of the Ebenezer D. Bassett Memorialization Committee.
All right. And Jesse Turner.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Turner from Central Connecticut State University and the Moral Mondays Education Ambassador for Connecticut.
So there's so much we can talk about in these next 45 minutes, so we're not going to rush. In fact, we might have to have you guys back because things are in process. And even if you didn't kind of confront, I shouldn't say confront, just bring, educate the state, the Connecticut state and the various Connecticut commissions on who this gentleman is and was. But something happened eight days ago? Fill us in, then we'll work our way back, whoever like to jump in first.
Well, last Wednesday, we came before the Finance Committee and the Infrastructure, Finance and Infrastructure Committee of the Board of Regents for mm-hmm. the state of Connecticut. And we didn't really speak at that meeting, but at that meeting, it was unanimously voted to name the Social Sciences Hall on CCSU's campus in honor of Ebenezer Bassett. A lot of work has already been done by Mr. Fothergill. Many years have been put into this, and we're just grateful for last Wednesday being able to witness history being made.
So again, you're listening to the Tom Ficklin Show, and Pastor Mills, say that again. I guess that those three sentences are
history was made on last Wednesday with the vote to unanimously name a building on a Connecticut public state college or university campus in honor of an African-American man, and that is great.
You're saying that there's been others before?
No, it's the first time.
So you guys made history.
Yes, sir.
You guys made history and her story.
And her story.
Well, it may be even double.
There you go. Go for it.
You know, because one of the things that some of our committee members and community partners have been have been putting out there, as they're saying, you know, it's the first in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a researcher.
All right.
And so I'm a historical researcher. And so to me, I just don't like taking things on its face value, but having the significance of it. So I'm working with our Connecticut State Library to verify whether this is even broader than the first building on one of our higher educational campuses.
Mm-hmm.
It may in fact be the first recognition of an African-American in our state history as having a name.
And that's so important, because we hear these days about whether monuments should stay up, or some monuments have been taken down, and the controversy about it. So for us to kind of realize that the past is the past, there may be some monuments up that you might not like, there may be some streets named, I won't mention names such as Columbus Avenue, et cetera. But on the other hand, you can also seize the time.
Right.
You know, history is not is malleable. I mean, that's if we're supposed to be agents on the planet. So you were involved, I'm told. I mean, rumor has it. I mean, Google kind of lies, but I've seen your name associated with this initiative for a few years.
Correct. Yeah. Within our campus, I founded the whole initiative with I coordinate our men's initiative,
mm-hmm.
our institution, the Man Enough Support Initiative. And in my own research, I stumbled across Bassett. And
yes.
He was fascinating to me. And one of the things I try to do within character development with the young men is putting forth images that become positive images,
yes.
that they can kind of live their lives by.
Yes.
So Bassett was adopted by my men,
uh-huh.
as an image that,
yes.
they can aspire to be as scholarly men.
Yes.
And that's kind of trickled over into some larger activities that we've done over the last 8 to 9 years at our institution.
Well, let's. I mean, Jesse's been working on your plantation. I mean, he's working at your university for. He's been working at this higher education institution for a while. We'll get to him in a second. But let's elaborate a little bit, because even separate from, in addition to the monumental, you know, pun intended, effort that you guys are involved with, you've seized upon history to kind of, if I understand you correctly, to inspire and educate and work with the young men. So tell us about some of those things. And you're also, correct me if I'm wrong, a graduate of 1980. You graduated from Central.
Yeah, I'm an alum.
Okay, all right.
I'm a proud alum.
The standards were higher than, lower than, you just jumped over the...
Well, I think the standards are, you know, respective to the time. You know, so...
Nice answer.
It depends on your perspective.
That. I like that.
You know,
Harry, can you hear me okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You're correct. I mean, one of the things our men and women and many of our women students talk about is imagery.
Yes.
And how powerful imagery is.
Yes.
And the absence of imagery sometimes tells a tale that I think a lot of times people ignore. You know, to be able to see someone,
yes.
who looks like you.
Yes.
I mean, we're in an educational environment. Our institution is one of the oldest of its kind,
mm-hmm.
in our state, but where are the images,
yes.
and stuff? And so Ebenezer D. Bassett became this image, and more powerful than I think we initially realized.
Isn't that what's attracting me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that here's this man who embodies the essence of our current students.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a first generation student. He was a student that had socioeconomic challenges.
Mm-hmm.
He was a student that... that had to come from difficult circumstances to access education. And that's no different in 2018 than the students that we serve today. So Ebenezer...
Harry, before you go, I'm not hearing myself. If you
might be.
Pardon me. Okay, now I am. Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
I can hear you too now.
Okay, good.
So Ebenezer embodied all that. So yes, it initially started off as an imagery thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do we increase the images of people of color on a predominantly white campus?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then when you're stumbling across the Bassett story, then you begin to start really questioning, why has this man never been acknowledged?
Yeah, why was he buried? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesse, give us some context in terms of who he was and kind of the time frame, because I love William when you talked about his similarity to current students, but this was like a few years ago.
We are talking about the first black graduate of a public institution and the oldest public institution in the state of Connecticut, the sixth oldest public institution of public education in the nation. We're talking about before Brown versus the Board, before Plessy versus Ferguson. we're talking about shortly before the Civil War. We are talking about only imagine being the sole black person on a campus. Imagine a campus. Right. This was that was welcomed you to the campus, and you graduated with honors. Bassett is not just a great black man. He's an incredible man. He is a known educator. When we talk about education reformers today, I say a lot of scammers. This was the real thing. New Haven is one of those places he came, so he's a great educator. He's a great humanitarian. He becomes the first black ambassador. He becomes the hero of Hispaniola. He is the Schindler's List for Haitians in Hispaniola. Cheney, historical black college, leaves New Haven after he does incredible things here, goes to Philadelphia, creates another school that becomes Cheney, that becomes a historically black college, the first in the nation. He is the first in everything. And this is not just, but this is the most famous, famous not the word. This is the most honorable graduate of any public institution of higher learning in the state of Connecticut and maybe the nation.
And I love what you said, Jesse. And again, you're listening to the Tom Ficklin Show, and we're talking about a gentleman that you may not, if you live in New Haven or even, for example, I was in North Haven and there was a Bassett Park. I was in North Haven, Hamden Line, and there was a Bassett Park. And in New Haven, we have the Bassett Street and the Lincoln Bassett School. But who was this gentleman called Ebenezer Bassett, Don Carlos, and how did things get buried and then resurrected and revived? And there's a lot of ways looking at what's going on in 2018, 2019. But it's true, I think all of us realize we're at a, sounds kind of, I keep on repeating myself, a historical moment. So there's ways for, we can't kind of change the past, but we can certainly kind of impact and direct the future. And Pastor Mills, how did these two guys conspire to get you? You're busy on Sundays, you know, you're raising money, you're passing the plate, you're doing birthing, kissing babies. I mean, I'm just making it. You gotta forgive me. But I'll come and kind of pray next Sunday. They ask you to pray for me. But how they kind of corral you into all this?
Well, I was introduced to Ebenezer Bassett by one of my members. His name is Willis Moore. And then I guess some folk had talked to Mr. Fothergill and had kind of told him that I was an agitator in the community. So he contacted me.
You're still short being agitated.
I am short, but I like powerful to agitate.
Right.
So getting involved in this wonderful effort was just a no-brainer, and definitely realizing that the community's involvement and engagement created a synergy.
That
this is the right moment, and I want to, you know, take some time to thank folk like Dr. Toro, who is the president of CCSU. She's the first Hispanic and the first female president of CCSU, so she knows a little bit about being first, and her effort to not only push this but to support it. So, you know, we coming along side of this was just a no-brainer, and the Grace Church community is just very much excited about the possibility of the Ebenezer Don Carlos Bassett Social Sciences Hall.
Indeed. And so this is it's perfectly okay with my show. As you guys have probably gathered that I'm kind of loose with it, but you're located in
New Britain.
Okay. Yes, and your services are,
we're downtown. Our services are 10 o'clock. If you come in, we hopefully get you out by 11:15. So in time for watching football or going to the movies or just enjoying your family. But, it's a really wonderful congregation that's involved with the community and engaged in social justice efforts.
Excellent, excellent. And the denomination?
It's a Methodist church. We're a Christian Methodist Episcopal Church.
Okay.
And so our church has been in the New Britain community for 76 years.
Okay, 76. And that's the key in terms of history. There's just so much going on.
Yes,
you're an associate counselor.
I'm associate counselor.
So, and so you went to Central, but you still, they let you still remain? I mean, I'm just trying to get a feel here for.
They never let them leave.
All right now.
Yeah, no, I went to undergraduate at Central, graduated in 89, and then went off and lived my life and developed myself as a professional, and then had the opportunity of returning.
Okay, and when people say associate counselor, that could be a lawyer term, that could be a drug counselor. But help us put context in terms of what your work is all about.
Well, I'm a mental health counselor on a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
And the associate status is an academic status.
Okay.
Because as academics, as counselors, we're a part of the academic faculty.
Good. Good.
And so as academic faculty, we have this we have the same rankings mm-hmm. and stuff. And mm-hmm. so I'm the step before the final step, which okay. I just recently submitted my promotion material. So
the final step would be
full counselor.
All right now.
So hopefully sometime soon I will hear that I'm at the ceiling.
I know a good minister that can kind of pray for you.
I can make a phone call.
Hey.
And agitate. Hey.
And I can advocate.
Just when you were chatting about the importance. Well, before I go there. So the next we have one achievement in terms of a public policy decision in terms of the Finance Committee. But what's upcoming?
What's upcoming is the final vote. So the Finance Committee has recommended, and a resolution will be submitted to the full Board of Regents for a final vote, and they will decide whether our proposal will be put into action.
Okay. Anything on that, Jeff?
Sure, Tom. The piece that we haven't talked about today is just a week before that.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
make a presentation members, at the
make
public
a
meeting.
Presentation. It was impressive. I was in Houston at the time,
mm-hmm.
but I will tell you that word got out, and what I was at the Board of Regents early on that day, and members came over and talked about a young girl who spoke. Talk about every member who spoke. They told us, "You don't worry about a thing today." We got the message.
Mm.
Well, at that meeting, you have educated and informed us and enlightened us, and we want to do the right thing. And then she said, "But you know, it isn't a done deal yet, but it's going to happen."
Yeah,
and that's when I called Pastor Mills, who was bringing the donuts over and the coffee, and said, "I think this is good." And I started telling people outside, when Pastor Mills gets out here, let's go outside and say a quick prayer, because you know don't take anything for granted.
Right.
But let's be thankful. Yes. So that was incredible. That testimony where people were able to speak.
Right.
And wherever we can tell the Bassett story, it is one of the most incredible stories. There will be there's a movie coming out, right, Will?
Mm-hmm. There's a documentary by Consul General Christopher Teal,
mm-hmm.
who's the Consul General to Mexico.
Okay.
And he is one of the primary authors
mm-hmm.
of information on Bassett. But if I could come back to was said.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Because I think, you know, Pastor Mills has not done himself justice.
All right.
And I want to kind of highlight that. And
this guy over here we're talking about.
This guy right over here.
Okay, all right.
In regards to the theme. And he's right. He said, he talked about that, you know, individuals that we know in common kind of connected us. And this individual, Dana Snell, I'm going to just call her out.
Absolutely. Shout out to Dana.
She said, because our project has always had a community emphasis.
Okay.
And the community members have always been involved. So for those that are out there that believe that this has just been an institutional project, it is not.
Mm.
From day one, the community has always been involved. We've always listened to the community and have been kind of driven by the community, because we believe that no person owns Bassett, and he was a community person. But Dana, in reaching out, as we begin to start looking at how do we do this differently, because we came to a place, Tom, that our proposal was just shut down. There was we received no information about what was happening with it, and the community began to ask questions, because the community is like, okay, what's happening?
Right.
So we decided to take a different approach, and a different approach is, okay, let's have a community meeting. How do we bring the community together? So instead of just talking to people on the internet, you know, communicating on the internet and on the phone, let's bring the community together. And Ms. Snell said, there's no way you could do this without involving a Reverend Thomas Mills.
This guy over here.
This guy over
here. All right.
And stuff. And we called and contacted each other. I think we talked about 40, 45 minutes.
Yes, we did. Yes.
It was a long conversation for an introductory conversation. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got ready to, you know, finish that conversation, I said, she's right. She's right.
And Pastor, and Jesse and Pastor chime in, but Thomas, talk a little bit about, because I heard you reference, correct me if I'm wrong, that you reached, if not an impasse, you reached some things are not moving.
Correct.
Then I heard you say that things began to move.
Correct.
And for people, we hear a lot about social change and social justice and movements, et cetera, but I always like when I have the opportunity on the show to let people know that sometimes these scenarios occur and you have to find new tactics and new, so what was, not that we want to denigrate or be judgmental about the obstacles that prevented you, but share a little bit in general about what do you think caused the quagmire, and then what caused things to kind of be loose.
Well, I think, you know, I'm just...
I mean, was it administration? Was it the governor? Was it... Well, no. But bureaucracy is such a broad term. Was it the head of the regents, the chairperson? Was it just the fiscal structure of the state at that moment, your state rep, your state senator? I'm always looking for people kind of for them to analyze where these stumbling blocks occurred, because those stumbling blocks might also still resurrect themselves in the future.
And I think that's a valid and a very important question, because, you know, when we put forth the proposal... You know, we had 100% support by our president, Dr. Zulma Toro.
Okay.
So again, she had her letter led the proposal that I wrote and stuff. And so once it got to the BOR, we had no information. We had no initial information in regards to what's going on. So it wasn't, I can put my finger on one
thing.
So
the Board of Regents did not give you a response.
Nope. We've got
what you can gather.
From what we were gathered, the information that I was told by our vice president at the time was, you know, they just didn't address it at the meeting. And so, you know, our committee kind of struggled with that, because to me, you can act on some information. It's difficult to act on no information.
Indeed.
So if
indeed.
It was a yes, we could act on that. Indeed. If it's a no, we can
indeed.
Act on that.
Indeed. So you were stonewalled.
So we were stonewalled. Mm-hmm. So, you know, later, you know, because again, as I told you, I'm a researcher.
For
so
sure.
I like to dig.
For sure.
To me, I'm never settled with a no answer. So it was about trying to really figure out.
Yeah,
and then we
began
to start hearing that there were some opposition
indeed.
On the board
indeed.
About finances, that
indeed.
The building should have a price tag.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the committee set out, you know, when we first put the committee together, is we weren't going to pay for a building, because
mm-hmm.
we believed that building was already paid for,
mm-hmm.
not only by
mm-hmm.
the taxpayers, mm-hmm. the past and the current mm-hmm. taxpayers of the state, but we believe that if I've done this, and I've added up the costs and provided them to our previous president, President Miller, that if you add up the cost of the Civil War, which is in Bassett's scope of time, if you add up the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. if you add up black suffrage and the struggle, if you add up human rights struggle, that building has been paid for. Blood, sweat, and tears.
Right. That's right.
Billions of dollars
there you go. Amen.
Have already been. So to pay for it twice, mm-hmm. we found no sense in being able to do mm-hmm. that. So again, the push was, okay, well, let's find out what's really going on. And so, as I said, we later found out that there was some opposition, and it was based on finance.
And I appreciate you sharing that, because, again, we have to be persistent and
right.
due diligence all the time. And Jesse, you'd referenced the Moral Monday, and that's kind of consistent with the Moral Monday approach, that things might not be the way we want them to be at the moment, but unless groups such as Moral Monday and such as your group continue to be kind of
right.
keeping your eyes on the prize, things are not going to change. And even just as a sidebar, as you may know, during the Revolutionary War, Connecticut had more slaves than any of the other New England states. So definitely in terms of the payments that we've made.
Correct. We did insure every slave ship.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention the financial instruments involved
correct,
to kind of
right,
kind of protect. You listen to the Tom Ficklin Show, and we're talking about who this gentleman was. Do we know, by the way, if Ebenezer was married or any children? Or do
correct.
We know?
He was married to Sarah Parks,
mm-hmm.
and they were married until, you know, her passing away,
mm-hmm.
and Bassett had several children, and I think two of them were born in Haiti during his administration there, and then the rest of them were here. New Haven, as Jesse right. stated, you know, New Haven has always had a special place in Bassett's heart. So
yes,
no matter
right.
where he went, he always
amen.
Maintained
amen.
A residency.
That's because you like the pizza.
you do have pizza.
No, that's key. But now he's New Haven's been willing to share him with the globe.
Exactly.
Thanks to you. Why is the building important? And I say that because, just as you're mentioning, William and Thomas, you're pastoring souls, and you're pastoring souls as well, if I can use that expression, but and Jesse as well. So the mental health thing is not just, we throw that term out casually, but it seems to me that this initiative also kind of relates to people's mental health.
Right.
Am I right or wrong?
Correct.
Or
correct. Not only our students and our faculty, but the community.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at, and I come back to this very important part of the community involvement,
yes,
and Pastor Mills and Grace Church, which really stepped up, you know, that when you begin to listen to these people, it was almost like there was something missing.
Right.
It was almost like a yearning for a recognition and an acceptance that was deep. And I think for those that do, you know, I think spiritual work with the African American community, we know it, that there's something missing in the relationship with this country, in the identification and the inclusion of people of color in our experiences and our contributions. Mm-hmm. So this was more than, as you talked about, a building. Mm. And this still is more than a building. And if people are out there thinking this is just about a building, they missed it.
Exactly.
It's really not about a building. It's about inclusion. It is about a recognition of our contributions through this man, our contributions to the democracy that people want to spout off today.
Mm-hmm.
People want to talk about patriotism and democracy and all of these flowery words, but living it out is making sure that that's reflected in every aspect of our lives. When I walk through a building, whose name's on that building?
If you walk through a federal building, I'm not going to say whose picture you got to look at at the moment. But so continue, man. Continue.
No, I was just saying that the community piece, and, you know,
and sometimes those buildings are named for people who just gave money. We haven't done any research on their lives or what they have actually done to promote and to build humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have a great example in Ebenezer Bassett as someone who was not only an extremely gifted educator, but also a man of great integrity. He was a contemporary to Frederick Douglass.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man of his times, and he also represented our country as the first American ambassador to a foreign nation. So to me, I think there's no better example, and I think
what foreign nation was that?
That was Haiti in 1869 by President Ulysses Grant.
1869.
Yes, sir.
1869, not 1969.
1869.
Before you and I were born.
Yes, sir.
1869.
in the Dominican Republic.
In the Dominican
Republic. Because he oversaw the whole island, which a lot of people don't know. That's right. Know.
Before the partition, before the DR kind of...
Right.
That's why Hispaniola
exactly
is kind of used as a word. And you're saying you're referencing the working with the state library system, et cetera, because now we're just unearthing. Who knows as we do this mind meld and this dig in this historical archaeological kind of investigation.
And they've always been a part too. You know, but in our first committee, you know, we had two representatives from the state library.
Good.
And even at the time when we were passing resolutions to acknowledge Ebenezer D. Bassett Day, which is held annually on October 16th, his birthday.
Okay.
You know, we had the state archivist. We have a letter of support from the state archivist.
Really important.
You know, doing that. So we've always had this interconnection of agencies and individuals. And so that's why I say a part of the hard work is trying to educate people. Because I think people think that all of this stuff should be done in a certain way. And if it's not done in that certain way, then there's not value to it, you know. And I think where we are right now, because I know Jesse would contest, you know, we had, you know, what I call is almost like individuals that were trying to redirect the project. And as you know, that there was a lot of energy a couple of months ago around the renaming of a street in New Britain after Bassett.
I have to admit I'm unaware of that, but talk a little bit more about that, because again, if you would, people ask me what the show is all about,
and I'm
hard pressed to give them a specific answer, but the show is about the in my mind the rhythms of life wherever we are on the planet, and just not necessarily the struggle, but the people have different perceptions on how they see things and how they perceive their power and how they execute their power and how they implement their power. Right. So talk a little bit more about that, because as we move to 2019 and Moral Monday and the importance of the church, people can talk about the obituary for the church as much as they want, but nonetheless, people are still finding satisfaction and growth and nurturing in the church.
Yes.
People can talk about white institutions, but people are still going there and can find benefits. So just for us to be as super creative and innovative and entrepreneurial with our thought process and our actions are just really imperative as we move to see if we can save this planet. So
it's soon to be 2019. In 1619, we unloaded the first 20 black slaves at Jamestown. I can't believe we're waiting this long to name a government building after a famous African American. But there's something going on that I call the soul of a nation that's at risk now. This isn't just African Americans, Latino Americans, all of them. We have a Dunkin' Donuts stadium in Hartford. Well, I played football in the Jackie Robinson Stadium. Okay? That's the way we used to name buildings. What we're told is buildings, you have to pay for them. And, you know, down the road, we did have a person that paid for a building, Calhoun building at Yale, a slave owner, a white supremacist. And, you know, I'm so glad Yale has come around and saw the light. And because of, I believe it was a custodian that broke a window there.
Well, that just hold that point, but and then continue. But again, almost a 20-year struggle in terms of changing Calhoun to be named Great Grace Hopper, but very similar to what you discussed. But continue.
Yeah,
one of the tipping points was was the custodian effort.
Definitely. But what I'm excited about is that, see, I'm going to teach there in the fall. I teach teachers, Tom. My teachers are going to take a class with me in the Ebenezer Bassett School Hall. And I'm going to be able to say that this man's thesis when he graduated was called The True Teacher. I'm going to be able to say this is the educator that made a difference in the world. And you know what? He's not going to look like me. We have a building. I teach in the Henry Bernard building. Henry Bernard's not a graduate of our school. He's a great man. I get all that. But I mean, here we have my teachers will be able to sit there and will be in this building, and they're going to wonder what building. Not only them, undergraduates.
That's true.
Little kids. Yes, I have little kids come to our literacy center all the time. Last year, we did a Henry Bassett during Black History Month. We did a scavenger hunt, and I fought to get a picture of him in the hall at Henry Bernard, and they did. He's got the biggest picture now. It's good. But the kids were like all excited and stuff. It makes a difference.
Yes.
When people are, I don't want to teach in Dunkin' Donuts Hall. I don't want to teach in Ford Hall. I want to teach in the halls, like our science building is Copernicus. Copernicus is one of the greatest physicists of all time. I want to teach in these places. And I think if you, when we're on university ground, Pastor, it's like church ground. It's sacred. Who are these people that want to, you know, we got, $4 million for a name of a building? Yeah, we're going to name it Jesse Turner, huh? Yeah, I'm not worthy of the building. I'm not worthy of the Bassett name. I'm not worthy of a lot of people. So no matter how much money I have, you should not name a building after me.
You're listening to the Tom Ficklin Show, and it's really a pleasure to kind of chat with these three amigos and three conspirators and three honorable men as well. I really sincerely mean that. We have maybe 10 minutes or so. I'm just trying to reflect and give you a chance to kind of think of some things that might be on your mind if you haven't had a chance to share.
Well, I just think that this is a great opportunity, as 2019 will be the 150th anniversary, I believe, of Mr. Bassett's appointment as an ambassador to Hispaniola. So I just think that this is the right time. I think my hat goes off to Mr. Fothergill for all of the
he's a passionate,
hard work.
Passionate guy, isn't he?
He's a preacher and don't know it yet.
I see.
The passion and just the hard work that he has put into this over many, many years. I believe it's about 7 or 8 years. So I'm very thankful to him and to Dr. Turner, who
that's Jesse, you mean?
Yeah, Dr. Jesse Turner.
All right.
No, nobody got a voice like Dr. Turner.
And the walking man.
All right. And so I'm just thankful for being, you know, involved with these guys and certainly helping to push this effort. It's just a great effort to be a part of.
It's tremendous. Chat a little bit about 2019 in terms of events that you might be involved with as individuals, as institutions. They don't necessarily have to be directly related to Don Carlos, but in the way almost everything is connected to him. I mean, our history is we're connected in so many ways. So just you know, I get the sense that even that you guys. So what are you guys up to for 2019? What's cooking on your plate?
As Pastor Mills said, you know, this is 2019 is going to really be a very significant time for for Bassett, you know, because it is an anniversary of his appointment. And so again, we're looking to capitalize on that. Biannually, we put together what we call the Ebenezer D. Bassett Humanitarian Awards. We've been giving those out since 2014. And again, individuals can send in recommendations and nominations of individuals that they think that are people worthy of Bassett's legacy, people that we believe that are carrying forward his legacy. The spring, during the spring of every year, we have the Ebenezer D. Bassett Student Achievement Awards. Because that's where we started. We really started trying to recognize students for again, their ability to live up to what we call the Bassett virtues.
And just elaborate on that point, because again, I always like for the show for people to hear, you got to start somewhere.
Correct.
And you never can always predict where it's going to lead, but you got to start. You got to start.
Correct. And that was the starting point.
Yeah.
You know, to outside of his legacy, our work has really been focused on our students. You know, the driving force, whether it's the scholarship, whether it's the student achievement awards, has been about the students. So when people, again, when I come back to it is not about a building, because if people really take the time to really understand what we're trying to do, it is very student driven. It is really about and that's really true to what Bassett
was
all about.
And these are all students. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're a student enrolled at Central Connecticut State University, this is information. This is important for your, regardless of how you identify yourself ethnically or sex.
Correct. And that's another piece that people don't really understand, that, you know, a big segment of our student award recipients are Caucasian students, you know, and students, if whether it's faculty or staff, we've always had a diverse group of people because they understand the central thing. This is about a man. This is about a person's contributions to humanity. This is not just because he's got a black face. This is not because he's got Native American ancestry. This is about, if we look at this person, and I always gauge it, Tom, I always gauge it from Yale, because Bassett attended Yale after he graduated. He took some classes at Yale, and we have to remember, this is the shout out to Central, you know, Yale was not awarding degrees to people of color, to black individuals. You could attend class there, but they would not give you that certificate at the end of the end of the day. So Bassett attended Yale, but over the last couple of years, Yale has established a scholarship in his name. Yale has done programs in his name, because Yale knows that this person adds up to their other legacy people. And so when we look at our system, a publicly operated institution with a guy whose position is the equivalent of an ambassador, how many publicly operated institutions graduate ambassadors? That's us. When we look at the legacy of our institution as the first institution, whether public or private, that allowed women to get a degree, that's us. That's us. So again, when we look at those things and we look at them in the sense of Bassett's legacy, it all culminated within within Bassett's time. Can I just say one other thing?
Can he say one other thing?
Can I say one other thing?
Can you say one other thing? Can you say one other thing?
You know,
you say one other thing.
Because when I talk about how many people have been a part of this, and again, I know I'm gonna hate myself because I'm gonna miss people, but the mayor of New Britain. Aaron Stewart, from day one when we started this project, she has been supportive. So people that, again, wanted to run off and try to challenge the New Britain about a naming of a street, see, they didn't do what we did. We talked to the community. We talked to the people in leadership. So we stayed in our lane. All right. And then I can't end this interview without really calling out, you know, my fellow warrior, and that's Janet Woodruff.
Janet Woodruff.
We've cried together over this project. We've been frustrated over this project. We've done everything, and she's to me a heart and soul of our institution that sometimes people don't know her contributions of what she does and the long hours that she gives. There's no way, I'm being honest, there's no way we could have moved this thing forward without individuals like Janet and Dr. Evelyn Phillips and Dr. Warren Perry. These are people that really, key. From that's day key. One, when that's I went key. To them in my crazy with my crazy ideas, these are people who said, okay, we're going to buy in.
Absolutely. So key. And definitely. Any other names come to mind? mind? Because part of the show is just to kind of recognize that we all can be stars in the galaxy.
There's so many people. Okay. That, like I said, I just want to shout out, you know, for Grace Church. Yeah. They, I just can't, I just don't have the words. And Spotswood, Amy Zion, because that's another part of the Black legacy.
Indeed.
Is the Black church.
That's right.
And how the Black church was a political force. It was a social force. See, we couldn't just go to a social agency. We had to go to the church.
Yes,
the church.
Right. Yes.
And that's what we went. We went to the church. Yes. And you know what? No matter what people say about the church showed up.
See, that's right. And again, as we wind down, what's so the next meeting is when, roughly?
The next meeting is December 13th.
And what's to take place there?
And that will be the official vote in celebration. Because, and then after that, well,
you're
the party starts.
You're assuming it'll be an affirmative vote.
Oh, I'm claiming it.
You're claiming
I'm a godly man, so I'm claiming that.
All right.
That is a done
deal. I'm a devilly man, but I'm claiming it too.
All right, so we're gonna send you the party invitation. Because Dr. Toro already sent out a notice stating that we will celebrate. We're gonna capitalize on that celebration.
There you go. So the public is invited. Is that an open meeting?
Yes, that's an open meeting. We can also speak at that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we are intending to bring people to say thank you.
Indeed. Indeed.
You know, that's because okay. I have often been at the Board of Regents being the antagonist to them. They don't always do things that I like, but I must say that they came through on this one.
Definitely.
And definitely. I will be one of those people to say thank you, job well done over there. And you talked about people who should be involved or who were there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not involved necessarily in the Bassett, but New Britain had the first Black police chief of a white police force in the nation, and that was Chief Clifford Willis. Clifford Willis, when I was the PDS coordinator at Pulaski Middle School, came to the school, spoke to the school. We made a movie for him. We gave him a card when he was dying. And his wife was a teacher at Slade Middle School. He took students to D.C. every year. But when William told me about this, this really was about me paying back Clifford Willis for inspiring hundreds of kids and teachers that I work with. And so it's not just others. And Willis was also part of the Red Ball Express, which was 85% Black. And we know that if you were driving the gasoline truck in World War II, you know those Germans were shooting for you. You know, so don't be listening to those things that Black soldiers saw no action in World War II. They were definitely targeting those trucks. And that gasoline was being unloaded on the beach at Normandy on that day. And Willis and them, they were risking their lives. And if I'm a German artillery man, I'd rather hit the gasoline than hit the soldier running across the beach. So I owe, it's Clifford Willis. It's so many. But one thing before we go.
Please.
There is a Bassett scholarship. And like William said, it goes to all kinds of students. It's awarded to them. We do need contributions. So if you just go to the Google and you say Central Connecticut State University, Bassett Scholarship Fund, you know what? Anything helps. And it would be appreciative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gentlemen, last words.
Well, I didn't tell Mr. Fothergill this yet, but Grace Church gives out scholarships. And since 2005, we've given out about $170,000 in scholarships to the New Britain Public School. So this year, 2019, we're going to rename the Grace Church Book Scholarships, which are $500 a piece. And we give six of those the Grace Church Ebenezer Bassett Book Scholarships. Those will be going to students at New Britain High School.
Excellent.
I just want to thank you, Tom, for just giving us an opportunity to celebrate a great man.
Sure. My pleasure.
And our ability to get out there. And if people, again, want to know more about them, then please do not hesitate to contact us.
The best way for people to reach you and contact you?
They can contact me at William Fothergill at Central Connecticut State University. My email is fothergillw@ccsu.edu.
And Fothergill's, I mean, I have an unusual last name. It's just two syllables. But I always love to see other unusual last names. I don't feel as bad. You know, it's isolated. So how do you, just the proper spelling of your last name?
It's F-O-T as in Tom, H-E-R-G-I-L-L.
Excellent. Jesse, last word?
Well, we'd like to say thank you to President Toro because she came with us with a concept of the connected university. Mm. She reminded us that Central Connecticut State University is connected to 30 surrounding towns and communities, and that we needed to be in those communities, working with those communities, and we wouldn't have this building if it wasn't for Grace Church, AMC Church, the NAACP, the people of New Britain. We just wouldn't have it because academics going to the border regions, that's why it was at a standstill. It was when the community came and stood with us, and that moves legislators.
Yes,
they're over
indeed.
There. Whoa, indeed. Church people vote, Pastor.
Indeed.
Okay,
indeed.
I just want you to know that. And they're over to academics, like, well, you're all dispersed throughout the state, and, you know, you probably won't affect my life. But church people vote. Excellent. Keep voting, people.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Gentlemen, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For being here. I use that term somewhat loosely. I mean, I know it applies at least one of you, if not two. And Harry, thank you as always for things. And thanks to Paul Bass at WNHH and New Haven Independent and just kind of the people's voice. It's our voice that we kind of lift up our voice and sing, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's the thing, 24/7, 365. Gentlemen, thank you so much. And
thank you.
This is the Tom Picklin Show, and talk to you next Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This new edition, filling positions. Looking at the void in myself and feeling what's missing. Better watch the way you're going. Better go in the right direction. In the moment, you're stressing, but you're going to be counting blessings. And I know that for certain. Keep on working, open curtains. Haters swerving, because they ain't ready for your final version. I'm never going to give up. Fall down, I just got to get up. Because this is my road. Lights, camera, action, I'm ready to go. I'm never gonna give up. Fall down, I just gotta get up, yeah. Yeah, this is my road. Lights, camera, action, I'm ready to go. Way too long, we faced them storms. Now you gon' face the dawn you waiting for. I said from night to dawn, I write my wrongs alone. In competition with warnings, ice galore. Now I'm running toward it, my life's unfinished. Being a quitter, but little by little, they joking, telling some riddles. Now I'm in my section, ain't willing to give up. Know you getting knocked down, but you gotta get up. I'm never gon' give up. Fall down, I just gotta get up, yeah.